This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. An estimated 28,000 people died from opioid drug overdoses in 2014 alone. That's a 200% increase since the year 2000. While politicians, public health officials, and affected families grapple with the epidemic, it is professional caregivers who are increasingly on the front lines. Some of those doctors, hospital staff, addiction counselors, and emergency responders are also advocates for innovative, even radical approaches to treatment. Tim Leahy is a physician and ethicist at Dartmouth Hitchcock Medical Center. He's also director of education at the Dartmouth Institute for Health Policy and Clinical Practice. In an op-ed for the New York Times, Tim proposed that opioid users be allowed to inject while in hospital care. The article went viral and has drawn, as you can imagine, a wide variety of responses. Tim, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me, Virginia.
So, yes, tragic number of opioid deaths, as we all know. But what are some of the other health complications related to using that land people in the hospital and your care?
We've really had our hospital practice changed overnight by the opiate epidemic. Nowadays, every single day on the infectious diseases service at Dartmouth Hitchcock, we see young people who have serious infections as a result of their opiate abuse, infections of their heart valves, massive abscesses in muscles and in the soft tissues where they've injected. This went from being a relatively rare condition for us to treat to just garden variety medicine for us.
So the hospital becomes a detox, in effect. What does that mean for you and the hospital staff?
When somebody who spends most of every day injecting drugs is newly hospitalized with a lethal complication of that or just some other health problem, they typically have no intention of stopping their drug use. Occasionally, that is rock bottom, and we have a chance to get them into rehabilitation services. But most of the time, they continue to want to inject drugs, and so we have to grapple with that while we're caring for them in the hospital. So this means that oftentimes people will sneak drugs into their hospital room and, for instance, as in the case I described in the New York Times, try to inject heroin into their IV lines in the bathroom. They might stash used needles underneath the mattress, thereby endangering the housekeepers who try to change their linens. All manner of things like this will come up.
You suggest in your op-ed something that has been modeled in some municipalities, providing places for safe drug use. So you would do that in the hospital. How would that help?
This is an out-of-the-box idea that's forced by desperation. Many cities around the world, Vancouver, Paris, for instance, have erected outpatient facilities for people struggling with addiction in the community where they can come and have a clean, well-lit place that has clean needles and a counselor there ready to give them access to rehabilitation services.
Our NHPR reporter, Paige Sutherland, she reported on consumption rooms in Germany, in Berlin, where addicts can use safely. Here's a clip of her talking with Christian Hennis, who works in one of these drug consumption rooms.
If people inject, somebody is sitting here and taken care. If somebody falls off the chair, we do this.
So that's Christian Hennis speaking to NHPR's Paige Sutherland. So Tim, basically saying drug addicts are going to use no matter what, so let's just acknowledge it, make sure they do it hygienically and under the care of medical professionals. But this is a pretty radical rejection of just say no. Any U.S. hospitals actually considering it?
You're right that this is a radical rejection of just say no, because just say no just doesn't work. The reason for that is that we do our best to advise people struggling with addiction to get help and to get off drugs. We think that's important. We have lots of medical and psychiatric measures to support that. But the sad truth is that often they aren't ready for that and they insist on continuing to use. And so we are left to grapple with what to do with that. we could, as often happens in American hospitals, get into conflict with them, post a guard at the door, as happened in the story I put in the New York Times, or we could try, as your clip suggested, to welcome them and to be open to them in ways that help them access needed services. I actually don't know of U.S. hospitals that have publicly come forward with established programs in doing this, but I know this is actively in conversation at many hospitals, including mine. And we're trying to figure out if this is the right out-of-the-box idea, knowing that there are some hospitals piloting this approach, and we're anxiously anticipating data coming out of them so that we can make the right step going forward.
The medical field and caregivers have had to adapt to the realities of life in contemporary America. You know, there are more cancer centers now, more specialties in different kind of diseases. What does this say about the future for the distinction between medical care and drug treatment? Is the wave of the future that hospitals will have to be active in addiction care?
This is a great question. You know, we have a specialty of addiction medicine, and I value the expertise that they bring to difficult problems like this. Increasingly, though, primary care physicians, hospital-based physicians, or specialists like me are having to grapple with the fact that addiction is part of everyday life for a growing segment of our society. So all of us have to have at least some facility dealing with this. For instance, I'm getting better and better at treating infections that happen from injection drug use. I think it's provoking change in our practice that we're trying to figure out how to deal with it, and it's not easy.
What is the calculation then for you as a physician and an ethicist? And in the idea of doing no harm, people who are using can overdose. They're perpetuating their addiction. I mean, they don't even allow smoking on the grounds of most hospitals. So how do you come up with the calculus of lesser of two evils? Is that it?
Yeah, that's exactly the right way to put it, Virginia. I've been asked this question exactly about whether we would allow smoking or drinking on campus and hospitals by a bunch of Twitter users and people who filled my inbox with their emails, most of them polite. And I think it's a great question. And the fact is that we don't allow smoking or alcohol use on our hospital campuses, in part because people who are addicted to those substances don't typically leave the hospital against medical advice in the middle of lethal illnesses in order to use their substance. They can hold on and accept our care. This is not the case with injection drug users, and so the calculus is truly different, and we're left to choose between an unusual way of allowing them to continue getting care in the hospital, or they exit and potentially die. These are the sons and daughters of our community, and I think we need to provide them with compassionate, open-minded care so that we save their lives and hopefully free them up for an opportunity in the future for rehabilitation.
Tim Leahy, a Dartmouth physician and ethicist, we spoke with him about his proposal made in a New York Times op-ed that addicts should be allowed to use, even inject drugs, while in hospital care. Tim, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Virginia.
You can find a link to read Tim's op-ed and some of the reactions to it. It really did cause quite a stir at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.